Hello and welcome to the Journal of Accountancy podcast. I'm Courtney Vian, a senior editor with the Journal of Accountancy. I'm speaking with Jonathan Flack, the U.S. Family Business Leader at PwC. He'll be telling us about PwC's 2019 U.S. Family Business Survey. This year, the survey focused on two topics of great interest to CPAs who work with family businesses, or even CPA firms who are family businesses, and that's technology and succession planning. We're happy to have him here.
But first, please listen to a brief word from our sponsor.
Running a business is rarely simple, but earning rewards can be. With the Chase Inc. Business Unlimited card, earn unlimited 1.5% cash back on every purchase for whatever your business needs. Restrictions and limitations apply. Offer subject to change. Cards are issued by JPMorgan Chase Bank and a member FDIC.
Hello, John.
Hi, Courtney. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for speaking with us.
Sure.
So can you tell us a little about the methodology of the Family Business Survey?
I'd love to. So our Family Business Survey, we perform every 14 to 18 months. The first edition of our survey went out in 2005. The 2019 edition, which we just published, was composed of an interview of more than 2,900 families. Those interviews are typically conducted through phone interviews. More than 80% of the interviews we perform with families are through phone interviews, so we get great content to the questions we ask and to the answers that we get. And the family business sizes range from 100 million to over 50 billion in revenue, but most of the families that we surveyed had businesses of the 400 million to $1 billion size range.
So this is the ninth time you've done this survey?
That's correct, yes.
Do you ask the same questions every time or do they change?
Most of the questions are consistent. There are several of the questions like succession planning and questions about how a family governs their business. Those are questions that remain in the survey and have been in the survey since 2005. There are new questions that we ask each edition to really cover current business topics. The questions that we have this year around the digital IQ of your team really centers around current issues facing family businesses.
Was there anything that surprised you from this year's results?
I think the statistic where we ask family businesses whether or not they have a robust succession plan in place, what surprised me is that statistic has not changed. The answer to the question and the survey results produced that there were only about 18% of the respondents that we had that had a robust succession plan in place. That statistic has remained between about 17 and 22% since 2005, and it just hasn't moved. It's something that we know families face. We know families work on it. It's a very challenging issue. But honestly, I would have expected over a longer period of time for that statistic to improve.
Sure. Now, I was also surprised to learn that so few family businesses had a formal succession plan. Why do you think that is?
First, I gave the context to the answer, which is, or the context to the results, which is it really has not moved in 13, 14 years now, which is very surprising to us. Although it is one of the most important challenges that family businesses have to face. Succession, planning for succession can make or break the transition of ownership for a family business. We think the primary reason this statistic remains so low is planning for the retirement of one generation and choosing the leadership from the next generation is very emotional for a family to work through. So let me dig into that a little bit more. The current generation of leaders often have a significant amount of their identity wrapped in their role as the CEO or the chairman of the business. And they also have their identity very deeply wrapped in the identity of the company. They've often spent their lifetime working in the business, so it is so much of who they are that it becomes very emotional to begin to think about changing and letting that go and moving on to do something else. At the same time, working through the process for a family of choosing the next generation of leadership is just as emotional. The family is larger, you tend to have multiple people that might be candidates for different leadership roles. You might even have non-family executives that would be great members of the leadership team. And so working through that again becomes very emotional. You're talking about people's children or people's cousins, and that becomes very challenging to work through. What I would suggest for a lot of advisors and CPAs that might be listening to the podcast, there are frameworks to help a family work through this. And I would suggest one particular framework that is called the 4 L's. And the 4 L's is a framework that helps a family think about the different stages of preparing next generation leadership, as well as helping the current generation begin to let go. The 4 L's stand for, the first is learning business, and that's the process of getting someone who has formal education in business, getting them to understand the basics of business. The second L is learning your business. So this would be spending time being mentored in your own family business, learning what's important, learning the culture, learning the environment. The third L is learning to lead your business, which is one that you might get people through phase one and phase two. They might know their business, but they may not be a natural leader. So the learn to lead your business becomes one that family members tend to work on for a longer period of time to become that leader. And then if you're back to my example of being that current leader who's been in the business for a long time and their identity is wrapped there, that's the hardest one for them to move on to the fourth L. And the fourth L is learning to let go, which is where you have that current generation that really needs to understand that there is a life after the business. There are roles for the family and for the business for you after your day-to-day role that are also very important. And so working through that framework becomes really helpful for both family and advisor to make those transitions successful.
Where could CPAs go to access that framework or learn more about it?
I think there's a number of articles out on the web. We have at PwC, we have a number of different articles that we've published about transition and succession that you can find there. There are a number of academic institutions. The Kellogg School of Management at Northwestern University is one. Harvard University, their MBA program, has some executive education courses and articles as well. So there's academic centers like them. There's also some consulting firms that have different articles that can be of help, and you can find most of those through a Google search.
The one thing that came out when we were talking about the survey preparing for this podcast was that you prefer the term continuity planning to succession planning. Why do you find that term preferable?
I think the emotional part that I mentioned earlier with the current generation of not wanting to face their mortality, for a dramatic example to that, the word succession indicates that there is the ending of something and the beginning of something new. Continuity gives the indication that there is a continuation, and I hate to use the same word as a description, but there is a forward thinking, and there is bringing along both past and planning for the future. And that word tends to resonate best with the current generation, who really still has control, and they really can impact whether a good succession or continuity plan is put together. So continuity tends to, first of all, disarm the current generation from having to face their mortality or face the end of their career, which so much of their identity is wrapped. The second thing that continuity does is it broadens the discussion beyond just an individual and a role or roles, and broadens it more into what are the other things that we should be thinking about with respect to transition. And some of those other things are, we should think about the composition of our board. Is our board fit for the strategy and the growth of the business for the next phase and for the next generation? Do we have a long-term and mid-term strategy that is put together well for us to continue to be successful? And then a family particularly has to think about the policies that they have in place, and if they have policies at all, because if you're moving from one generation of leadership that might be controlled by one individual to a next generation that might be some level of shared responsibility and shared decision making, policies and procedures that the family has to make decisions is extremely important. So we wrap all of that around in continuity and not only include planning for a succession of individual roles, but we're also thinking more broadly about how a family can think about the other pieces that are critically important to be successful in making that transition.
The one point that came out in your, one point that came out in your survey is that continuity planning these days is very much intertwined with technology and digital knowledge. Your survey found that only slightly over half of family businesses expect to make significant changes to their technological capabilities in the next coming years. Why is it so important that they keep their technology current?
I think historically, first of all, family businesses have traditionally been slow adopters of technology. They oftentimes don't necessarily have the capital resources to make the investment, so they like to maybe see where the technology over time becomes more affordable. So they wait a little bit, they're slow to adopt. And then family businesses and their employees tend to be very loyal. And so their employee base often is resistant, very naturally human nature to be resistant to change, and particularly around technology change. So that transition tends to be much slower, and that's a historical trend that we typically see with family businesses. The issues with being a slow adopter today of technology is the cycle for adopting new technology and the rapid pace of disruption is so quick that it could make or break the success of that family business going forward. Today, the technology advances are happening so quickly that you have different technology changes that happen within one cycle. If one cycle is, let's say, 20 years for a family business, you're going to have multiple changes of technology within that cycle instead of just having to face one or two. And what we're seeing is because the global economy and the world has become flattened, our competition is not just domestic or not just next door. It's now throughout the world, and you've got competitors competing with you in countries far, far away. So the ability to more rapidly adapt to and invest in technological changes and increasing the acumen of your team members will put family businesses in a much better position to successfully navigate through this rapid period of change.
What are some, what are some steps that family businesses can take to increase their digital IQ?
I first recommend family businesses to start with the board. So the tone at the top of increasing the acumen for a family business and for any organization really has to start with the top. And there has to be the right level of understanding in order to lead an organization through this type of change. It has a large impact on the culture of a business. And so having the right members of your board of directors and your leadership team in order to take a organization through this change is very important. The second thing I would recommend is most businesses have young employees. When I talk about young, I'm going to say, mid-30s and younger. And those younger employees are some of your best assets with respect to having a very good understanding of technology. They've used technology more so than those of us that are older than that age. And so leveraging those young individuals could be, and what we've seen from family businesses that are successfully navigating through these changes, could be one of the best places to start as far as leveraging individuals. And then lastly, I would say this is a cultural evolution, not a cultural revolution. And I think that's important to understand. Many family businesses look to see technology as a way at which that may replace employees, it may replace identity of people, and it may change the culture in a very harmful way in the minds of many people that might have been in the family business for a long period of time. I would encourage you to think about it as an evolution, not a revolution. And that cultural adaptation that needs to occur is really around change. If you can discuss with your employees and your team, and if you can advise family businesses on the culture of being change agile, it becomes very important. I'll give an example of our PwC path of accepting technology to many of you other CPAs here, just to give an example of how we've tried to adapt this. We have leveraged our younger talent at PwC. The average age of PwC team members in the United States is 28 years old. So we have several thousand employees that are less than the age of 30 and have lived with that technology, as I noted before. What we decided to do was to unleash them. We gave them some very short and very simple education around some technology tools. And then we asked them to go innovate. We didn't tell them where, we didn't tell them with what. And the results that we have are hundreds of brilliant ideas that have dramatically shaped not only how we perform tasks within the firm, but also how we interact with our clients and make things more efficient, which makes our services more economical for our clients, as well as it makes our team members much more knowledgeable. So I think letting go a little bit of control and allowing those young team members that have been very used to technology is really a winning formula. And I think family businesses really trust their employees. They have a very strong relationship historically with their employees. So making that change, I don't believe is a great leap, but it is certainly something that I think family businesses have to put front and center with respect to their strategy.
Could you give me an example of maybe one of those innovations that your younger employees came up with?
Sure. There is technology that that is used, like robotic processing, for example, which uses different bots to do repeatable steps, and they do them on behalf of the human. If you think about in our firm, there are multiple tasks that we perform on a daily basis that use a variety of different systems. And historically, we have had to manually go into different software systems and log in, and we use the same login and the same password, and it is doing the same repeated task that we have to do multiple times during the day. So some of our team members programmed a bot or wrote a script for a bot, I should say, and that bot would do the clicks and do the sign-ins and go to the right web pages on behalf of the human. So something that took maybe 4 or 5 minutes for the human to click through, to go all the way in, to pull a report, for example, now can be done with one click, and the bot will in milliseconds go through and do those same click-throughs to run that report for you. We do that so many different times during the day that if you're able to write a program for that one bot, you're able to save thousands of hours across the firm in running that same type of report, as an example.
What are some ways that business owners can encourage members of the next generation to stay within the business?
So engaging next generation is always weighs very heavy on the minds of family businesses. What I typically do when a family begins to think about how they engage those next gen members, I encourage those families to step back, think about all of the different roles and functions and responsibilities that exist within a family business. And breaking those down becomes very helpful to think about how you might leverage the best skills of the next gen family members. So for example, there are tasks and functions as an owner, as a family member who owns a business, that are different and unique from someone who's actually working in the day-to-day business. So identifying roles of a shareholder, roles of a board of director member, roles for a family member in the family's philanthropic activities. So breaking each of those down instead of looking at it as this person today This is their role and this is what they do. If you break those down and say that there is actually individual functions within there that each of the individuals currently do, showing what those responsibilities and functions are to the current generation, speaking to them and sharing to them what those mean, what value those bring to the organization. Many times what we see is the next gen members say, oh, I'm very interested in what we're doing around philanthropy, or I'm very interested in what it means to be a shareholder. I'm not very interested in working in the business, but I would like to be a shareholder. How can I learn more?
So one thing mentioned in your report is that it's helpful for family businesses to make a formal statement about their values. Why so?
The family ownership of a business is what makes them unique compared to other types of companies. And many employees that work for a family business immediately start to talk about the impact that the values of that family portray in the day-to-day, how they treat their employees. It becomes a very attractive piece that employees are become very loyal, and it helps them stay in a business and become attractive to a business. And the reason why it's important for family businesses to define the values and to write those down and put those up is it creates that point of unity for your employees. And it also makes it a point of alignment for the family that is in ownership of the business. Many times what we see is family as owners begin to have conflict. They begin to have discussions about who should be taking over as CEO. They have discussions about where we are investing our capital. And the values and having those written and having those in front of everyone who knows and is engaging with the business becomes something that tends to neutralize some of the emotion, and it allows people to think about something bigger than just themselves. The millennials and some of the younger employees that are out there that are looking for jobs, that family businesses are out there recruiting, are very keen on finding organizations that are there for a purpose. And we hear oftentimes that millennials are looking to make a larger impact in society, and that is something that I think is not unique to millennials, but I think it's something that is very important to them. And so the values that get defined by a family business and they talk about their purpose becomes an attractive point for family business to recruit new talent.
Once again, that was Jonathan Flack, U.S. Family Business Leader at PwC. And the survey he was discussing was PwC's U.S. Family Business Survey. You can read the full report on the survey at PwC's website. Just go to their site and search for 2019 U.S. Family Business Survey. This has been the Journal of Accountancy podcast. Thank you for listening.
This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered and does not represent an official opinion or position of the AICPA or AICPA.org. It is provided with the understanding that the AICPA and AICPA.org are not engaged in offering legal, accounting, or other professional service. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The AICPA and AICPA.org make no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to, and assume no responsibility for, the content or application of the material contained herein, and especially disclaim all liability for any damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.